It's here. This week is the fifth Faith Indeed mission trip to Cumberland. And we're going to roll up our sleeves, we're going to go into our communities, and we're going to seek to be a blessing, showing the love of Jesus Christ to our communities. You know, the effort that this mission trip takes is huge. It is a lot of work. Every day the workers are going to come home exhausted. Every day our kitchen staff is going to be working frantically to feed all of our workers, and they will be wore out at the end of each day. By the end of this week, the people that are involved in this mission trip will be weary. If you can't tell, I'm already weary. In all truth, the Faith Indeed lead team has been working hard for 3 months promoting this event, asking everyone to register and to submit project nominations. There's a lot that probably goes into this that people aren't aware. We went to the community leaders. We went to the mayor of the community, to the police chief of the community, to the public schools. We went to kinship. We went to the hospital and said, hey, this is what we're trying to do. Is there someone that you know that could use this kind of a blessing? And God gave us favor. The mayor of Cumberland nominated 11 projects for this year's mission trip. The hospital nominated a project for this year's mission trip. The school, the public school, nominated a project for this year's mission trip. And then for the past month, the lead team has gone to every single project that was nominated, some 20 projects. And we went and personally visited every single one of these people and explained what we were doing and how they came to be nominated and just said, would you let us serve you? No strings. We're not asking for anything else. We're just asking if you would let us come because someone in this community loves you so much that they want to provide for your need. Would you let us serve you? And for all those that said yes, and we are doing, I think, 10 projects we have planned this week, it took 2, 3, 4 visits. We went back to see exactly what was done. Some of them required someone with a little more expertise. I had to take Terry because that's the best I could do on some of them for expertise. Say, so, hey, let's figure this out. We had to measure out. We had to order materials. We had to plan all of this. And this past week, we've been trying to see how all of this fit. We've been watching the weather. We've been trying to schedule this. It's a lot of work that goes into this. And we're tired already, and the trip hasn't begun. This morning, as we sang that song, Same Power, I thought, oh, thank God it's Christ that's got the power because Gary has no power left, and he has a lot of work in front of him. But, you know, I think the obvious question as we do this is, why do this at all? Why do we bother with such a great effort to do the Faith Indeed mission trip? You know, after 4 years of doing the Faith Indeed mission trip, the truth is, look around. Cumberland Baptist Church hasn't exploded with growth. We've been into the community for 4 years, and I don't see the pews packed out. I'll tell you the truth. We have not experienced any financial gain from doing this mission trip. That's the truth. God's been good. We're ahead of budget. We're paying our bills. I'm not complaining, Lord. I'm really not complaining. But it hasn't made us rich. I think you can look at the past 4 years and you can wonder, has the mission trip been worth the effort at all? Janet's over there nodding. You know, this is the first year in 5 trips that this dear woman has not been the first person registered. We complained to her. We said, we don't care about your hip. Get out there. You've got work to do. But no, she's a saint. For 4 years, the very first person, and she's there nodding her head. It's worth the effort. I mean, we've improved our relationships in the community. It has been, like I said, the mayor, the public school, the hospital. Why did they say yes? We'll nominate for a Baptist church to go serve, because they know our reputation now. That is the church and the community that cares, they said. We've heard of your good works, they said. Yeah, we trust you to send you out. We know that word will come back that it meant good things. We won't be embarrassed that we asked the Baptists to help. I think those who have participated in the mission trip hopefully have grown in fellowship as we look at those. You know, at the beginning of the service for the past couple months, we've been putting the previous year's mission trips. Jason Pritz did a great job of putting those slides together. And I look at those slides and I go, that was Crystal and Eric's. We did the dog kennels there. Wasn't that cool? And Crystal and Eric, they love us. Oh yeah, Nancy Thompson, you know, Kelly and I go visit her every so often, and she loves this church. It's built better relationships for us in the community. Hopefully it's shaped us in fellowship. And hopefully it's helped us grow spiritually. You know, there's something that happens to the flesh when you say, I'm going to serve someone else instead of serve the self. It forces us to kind of kill that sinful nature. But you know, these short-term cost-benefit analysis approaching to evaluating the mission trip by just looking at simple numbers and people and finances and saying, well, I don't think it's been worth it, I think they miss the bigger point of why God calls us to do this mission trip. And so today, I want to look at why we're supposed to do this, because there's a bigger story involved in all of this. And as we prepare to, again, roll up our sleeves and serve the people in our communities, I think we need to have this bigger picture so that we go out there with enthusiasm. That those who serve, serve with great joy and excitement. That they want to be out there doing what we're doing. If you'll turn in your Bible to Galatians 6, 7 and 9, 7 through 9. The Apostle Paul writes, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from the nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You know, the first thing that Paul gives us are two absolute principles or laws. These are things that we need to know. Paul says, if you ignore these things, you will be deceived. And by deceived, what he's saying is, if you think doing this is going to have this outcome, and it's not the right thing, you're deceived and you're not going to get that outcome. The outcome you're going to get is going to be unpleasant. It's going to be trouble. He says, do not be deceived. Understand the way the world works and what is actually going to bring about the outcome that you desire. Or more importantly, that God desires for you. And the first law is that God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. That's a law. Now what does Paul mean by that? Because people certainly ridicule God. They ridicule belief in God. This is happening all the time in our society. People reject God's moral code that he's revealed in the Bible. They're opposed to it. This happens all the time. People reject God's commands. People rebel against God's ways. People resent God's rules. And they ridicule anyone who holds these things up as true. They mock God in this sense. But Paul says, God cannot be mocked. Well, what Paul is saying is God's commands remain commands whether you agree with them or don't agree with them. You can ridicule them and you can go the opposite, but God will not be mocked. His commands still have consequences. God's ways are the only ways that work in the long run. God who created, who understands, he says, here is how it's going to go. And when we say, no, Lord, I want to do it this way, God says there's going to be painful consequences. You cannot mock God's ways. If you're walking in accordance, you will find life works a particular way. If you're walking in rebellion, you will find that there are consequences. In the end, those who mock God discover their error, and it's a painful discovery. God cannot be mocked. God has set things up to work the way he wants them to work, and they will work in that way no matter whether we like it or don't like it. Which brings us up to the second rule. A man reaps what he sows. You know, I think this law is very simple. It's very clear. If a farmer sows wheat in the spring, he harvests wheat in the fall, right? If he sows corn, he harvests corn. You know, a man does not sow corn in the spring and expect to harvest watermelons in the fall. That's not going to happen. Although it does remind me of this great scene in one of my favorite movies. How many have seen Secondhand Lions? Have people seen this movie? If you have not seen Secondhand Lions, you have got to see this movie. It is a great movie. There are these two old bachelors who have their young nephew kind of dumped on them, and they're kind of crotchety old men. They're not happy to have this young boy come live with them. And unbeknownst to many, these men are ridiculously rich. They have had these wild adventures, and they've got tons of money. You wouldn't guess it by the way they live. They live in kind of a ramshackle house. They spend their time sitting on their front porch with shotguns to chase off the salesmen. They're kind of funny guys. But they take this nephew in, and over time, they realize that this is kind of a good deal. They kind of fall in love with their nephew. Who knew that would happen? And so they come to this realization that for their nephew's sake, they should really start eating better. And so they decide that they're going to plant a vegetable garden. So this enterprising seed salesman comes along. He kind of ducks behind his house because he's been shot at by the shotguns a few times and waves the white flag, you know. And they decide to buy seeds from the salesman. And so they buy all the seeds you would need for a wonderful vegetable garden. They get cucumbers. They get radishes. They get pumpkins and squashes. They get tomatoes. They get everything that you could imagine. Lettuce. It's going to be a great garden. And so you know, they're naive. They've never planted a garden before, so they work hard and they plant all the garden. And as the garden starts coming up, they notice that the cucumbers look just like the tomatoes, look just like the celery, look just like the radishes. And when they get to fall, all they have is sweet corn. The salesman deceived them. See, they didn't get cucumbers and radishes. They got sweet corn. They planted sweet corn, and they got sweet corn. Did you get that? They planted sweet corn, and they got sweet corn. They thought they planted cucumbers, but they planted sweet corn. They thought they planted radishes, but they planted sweet corn. See, it didn't matter what their intentions were. It didn't matter what their beliefs were. It didn't matter what their feelings were. The reality is they planted sweet corn. And they ate a lot of sweet corn at the end of the movie. So the law of reaping and sowing, you get exactly what you sow. Don't think that your intentions are going to change that. Don't think that your beliefs are going to change that unless your beliefs change your behavior. So you sow the correct thing. This is an immutable law, and it's not just about farming or gardening. This is written by God into all of life. It impacts the material. It impacts the moral. The Apostle Paul continues in Galatians 6:8. The Apostle Paul says, "Whoever sows to please the flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." See, this is an important verse. That this verse is worthy of great contemplation and careful thought. If we sow to the sinful nature, to the flesh, we're going to reap destruction. If we always go after what feels good to me, Paul warns us this is going to bring about bad results. It brings about destruction. And none of us really desire destruction. And so we have to wrestle with this. We have to understand this. If we think we are sowing good things like cucumbers, but we're sowing bad things like field corn, we're going to get the field corn. It doesn't matter that our goals seem good. It doesn't matter that it's what we really desire. It's going to reap destruction if it is not sowing to God's will. And I find this very sobering because what I want is to please me. It drives me. It is really what motivates my life, is to find the things that satisfy the me. And to sow those things. And so I need to continually be checking my heart and asking, does my heart align with God's values? Because if I am sowing to the flesh, I will reap destruction. And I want to sow to the flesh. But if it is not Spirit-led, it will bring destruction. Paul says, whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And so what we're sowing is going to determine what we get. And this sounds good. This sounds fine. We can grasp the theoretical implications. And yet you're probably sitting there this morning wondering, you've really been pounding the mission trip, Pastor. You've really been making a big deal of the mission trip, Pastor. What does any of this have to do with the mission trip, Pastor? Well, I think Galatians 6:9 answers why this is so relevant to our mission trip. Galatians 6:9, Paul writes, after warning us of the law of reaping and sowing, he says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That's a strong verse. You see, the law of reaping and sowing is certain. The problem is that the reaping, Paul tells us, is in its season. We sow, and then we have to wait for the season. The farmer plants his seed in the spring, but he doesn't get the crop right away. Well, when he plants his crop, he has to wait. He anxiously watches the ground for the signs of growth. He watches the weather. He hopes for favorable growing condition. And as the plant grows, the farmer's not idle. He has to cultivate his fields. He has to watch for pests. He has to do all the work of protecting the crops, but he has to wait day after day, week after week, month after month. And it's not till the fall, in God's timing, when finally he reaps the benefits of what he sowed. And that's hard because we expect instant results. It's like we all desire that there would be some magic seeds that we would throw at the ground and then instantly a plant would pop up and the fruit would be there and we'd pluck that fruit. We want life like that. When we think about spiritual growth, we think, man, if I would just pray this prayer, life will be good instantly. And God says, no. You have to sow those seeds, and then you have to do the work and wait. And in its time, you will reap the harvest. But you see, God's plans don't work for it to be an instantaneous thing. And this is important to God, and God will not be mocked. There's something about this time between the sowing and the reaping that just matters tremendously to God. You see, it's this gap between the sowing and the reaping where God alone controls the growth. And that's where I think we get so frustrated, because it's out of our control. We go out and we put the seeds out there, and then we're waiting and we can't do anything, and we're wanting the fruit, and it's just frustrating because God controls that. And it's while we're waiting that something has to happen in us. See, this is where faith grows. This is where we have to keep deciding, will we press on? Lord, I planted the seeds and it hasn't happened the way I wanted it to. I'm not sure I can trust you anymore. No. The harvest comes in its time, but will you press on now? But Lord, I've planted all these seeds and I don't see anything yet. I know. But will you press on in faith? Because if you grow weary, if you give up, you may very well walk away the day before the fruit appears. And so we need to wait on God's time. And like the farmer, yes, there's work to do during this time. We have to keep doing our part of this work. We've got to pull out the weeds. We've got to watch out for the pests. We've got to keep building the relationships. But we don't get to quit doing the work, because the fruit will happen in its time. And our faith will grow as we trust and wait on God. So is doing the good worth anything? Maybe we haven't gotten the results that we want, but should we keep going? I hope you're saying yes. Should we keep on doing good? No. Should we keep on doing good? Yes, we should. We should persevere. We shouldn't grow weary, because God will bear the crop that he wants in his time. And I want to consider one final aspect of this sowing and reaping. See, the reaping is determined by the sowing. I know that sounds obvious. We've kind of talked about it a little bit, but I'm going to say it again. The reaping, the harvest, is determined by the sowing. If we do not go out and sow any seeds at all, the one thing we can be certain of is there will be no harvest. You don't get a harvest if you don't plant seeds. Does that make sense? Do you ever hear of a farmer who in the spring walks out to his fields and goes, "Gosh, I hope I get a good corn crop. I'm going to trust God on that, though. I'm going to go over to the bar." Well, they don't last in farming very long. See, if we sow seeds, then we need to wait on God's timing. But if we don't sow seeds, then what are you waiting for? Nothing's happening. All you have is fallow fields with nothing growing. So don't waste your time waiting. If you have not sowed the seeds, you're just being foolish. Get out and sow some seeds. And we're told elsewhere in the Bible, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow abundantly, you will reap abundantly. And so the reaping depends on the sowing. And so we've got to get out of our instant gratification mindset. We've got to begin to apply this law. If we want to grow spiritually, then we've got to keep sowing those spiritual seeds and keep sowing those spiritual seeds and keep sowing those spiritual seeds if we want to have a future harvest. Perhaps if we're not harvesting much now, it says something about what we failed to do earlier. And that's a little sobering too. So we come back to our original question, why do we do the Faith Indeed mission trip? Simply to sow seeds for the kingdom of God. That's it. The seeds of doing good, of showing the love of Jesus Christ, will produce a harvest in God's time. Period. Exclamation, underline, bold print. It will do it. It will, because God promises it will. It will produce a harvest of open hearts to receive the gospel. It will produce a harvest of salvation for the kingdom of God. It will produce a harvest of growth in the hearts of those who choose to serve instead of being idle and sitting on the sideline. It will produce a harvest of pleasure for our Lord Jesus Christ as he sees his people acting in love. That's a harvest. I've got to tell you, brothers and sisters, it may never produce a harvest of growth in numbers for Cumberland Baptist Church. Or it may. It may. But it might not. It may never produce financial security for us. Or it may. I don't know. See, those things are in God's hands. But one thing I am absolutely certain of is that if we keep doing good and doing it with a spiritual heart, that it will produce a harvest for God. It will be done for God's glory. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, I urge you to rejoice this week, to embrace this opportunity, to come at this with the attitude of we are sowing spiritual seeds this week. We're sowing to the Spirit. So set aside any selfish ambition, any fleshly inclinations, and pray, 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 pray for the right heart to sow spiritual seed this week. Don't become weary. Keep seeking God's glory. Keep trusting the God of the harvest that in his time that he is going to bring forth a great crop if we don't grow weary in doing good. One final thing as we're preparing for this mission trip, one way that you can ensure that these are spiritual seeds is pray. Pray, brothers and sisters, if you're going to be part of this mission trip, start praying. I hope you've already been praying, but start praying if you haven't. Pray for the recipients. Pray for yourself. Pray for the energy of Christ because we're going to get tired. Pray that we go out there with joy and with excitement and enthusiasm. Pray that God's already prepared them to receive us. Pray that he opens a door of opportunity. Pray that he gives you the right words at the right time. Pray hard on this. When you wake up Wednesday morning and it's time to come here and work, wake up in prayer. When you get done exhausted Wednesday night, go home and pray. And the same thing Thursday, and the same thing Friday, and the same thing Saturday. Pray. And when the mission trip's over, don't think it's over because we have just started relationships. Then pray. And possibly as you pray, God is going to speak to you and say, you know, that person you went and pulled weeds for, you guys seem to get along pretty good. Why don't you stop in with a bag of cookies and have a cup of coffee and talk to that person? She's lonely. Because that's what prayer will do. And if you're unable to help this week, if you're not able to be part of this mission trip, you can still be praying. Pray that God is going to empower this trip. And that what we're doing this week isn't just busy work, isn't just getting stuff done. But pray that God goes before us and that Christ is glorified through us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that we have had these opportunities. Lord, I have met over the past couple of months some truly precious men and women, some who have lost spouses, some who are struggling with cancer, some who have served in our military and now have physical problems because of that. Lord, every one of these precious people has a story. And every one of these precious people need to be loved. And so, Father, I pray that we would not grow weary, that we would be inspired by the Holy Spirit, that you would guide us, and that this would bring you glory. Lord, we hunger for a harvest. Plant the seeds and raise those fruit up, Lord, and let this church proclaim your glory and bear fruit. In Jesus' holy name, amen.